Hello and welcome to the Short Ball Podcast on Rugby Pass. My name is James McConey. I'm filling in for Scotty Stevenson, who's in Fiji, I think, or somewhere nice.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm filling in, but I tell you who's here. Mills, he's milling in. Does that make sense? Mills Muliaina. How's it going, mate?
Not too bad, mate. She's a pretty cold morning, but at least the sun's shining, McConey. So,
yeah.
Great to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Is it cold, though? You're from Invercargill. Are you cold?
I am cold.
Why, though?
I've gone soft.
Oh, okay.
I was down in Dunedin last week. Beautiful day, but freezing.
Yeah.
Freezing. And it kind of reminded me back in the good old days, but I think Auckland's made me a little bit soft.
Yeah, fair enough. I think you've gone soft as well. I wonder, though, but by going back to Dunedin, was it quite exciting being around the town? How many selfies did you have to take with fans and stuff on Saturday night?
I didn't have any, I don't think. Not that I... No, I don't think... maybe one or two. I actually caught the bus home from
really?
The stadium. Yeah, Max was down there, so I figured once all the Sky stuff had finished that I'd jump on the bus and... head back to the Octagon, so had some interesting conversations on there.
Yes, well, I actually found it interesting conversations about what?
Oh, just about what was happening that night, and yeah, interesting. It was good. It was good. I actually enjoyed it down in Dunedin, and great result as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. We can talk about rugby if you like, since that's the subject of the podcast. We've got some interesting sort of, I guess, things to come out of that talking point. Scott Barrett looked really, really good. Does that mean it's we've got a three-way battle now for that starting lock position? I said three-way. No, that's funny. Yeah.
I think you know, he stood up, and that's really what the coaches were asking for. Obviously, the big guzzler will come back into the fold and into the mix. I mean, he's, in my opinion, last year the way he played, I thought he was the best player in the world. And so, he's has to be one of the first names that go on the team sheet when you name a team. But Barrett, sensational. And I think he's brought a different element to his game. We always knew how skillful he was, how big his tank was as well. But I think the physicality that he showed, and particularly for the Crusaders in recent weeks, he stepped it up again another level in test match footy. So that was pleasing to see. And he's just going to grow. He's just a young fella. And... he was immense.
We have Ben Smith back at fullback and Damien McKenzie at 10. Can we talk about Damien first for his first start there for the All Blacks? What did you think?
Oh, I thought, look, he great. I mean, I don't think he missed a kick, did he? I think he was 100%. I just like the way he's come on, and credit to the coaches as well. They've given him another opportunity, but he's also just sort of, starting to find his feet a little bit, In that second test, there was obvious opportunities to run, particularly off counter-attack and turnover ball, but he was patient, he sort of played the percentages. And again, last week he showed that as well. He set the All Blacks, back line alight. But he also, ran the cutter when it came to the fours. They didn't get much pull in that first half. And so, but the work that he had done, particularly with his forwards and creating opportunities later on, that was definitely pleasing. And it just goes to show, you give him a little wee sniff, particularly around those edges, he'll take them. But I thought he was amazing in Dunedin.
What is the hardest part of being a first five?
I think having to connect your backs. Not that I've played a heck of a lot, but also running the cutter, winning big moments and realising, when it's on to really play, when you're hearing, calls from the outside. Obviously, sometimes it's a bit of fool's gold when there's opportunities, but you've got to also start thinking about the moment and whether you've had the ball. And they didn't have the ball for a long period of time in that first half. And so it's just been able to be a little bit more patient and not try and chase the game. And I thought he'd done that, that first half, that he'd hit a massive kick. Obviously, he went dead. But to compose yourself and come back and set things up, he used a lot of his the big ball carriers, calling a lot of the plays, and he also used Sonny Bill a heck of a lot. And then, you've seen in that second half, they started to go, backdoor. And so once that happened, you know, he set it up, you know, really nicely. So I think the connection with your forwards, being able to give that real big voice and the awareness of what's going on in the game, that's what makes a 10 jersey so difficult.
And that's time in the saddle, and I guess he's going to, you know, he's back in there for the Chiefs this weekend. Do you sort of see that, say, with Damien, he is he's the ultimate bench player as well, though, isn't he?
You put him anywhere. I mean, yeah. That's the thing. I think because I still tend to believe he's a fullback, but it's probably because also we've got a pretty classy number 10 who's out injured at the moment. But he's your sort of go-to everywhere sort of guy. And if there was one sort of element you'd think he might not be that flashy, given his size, it'd be tackling. But he doesn't mind, you know, defending, does he? And so he's got an all-round game. And yes, I think, you know, the more time he gets in the saddle, particularly at 10, the better he will become.
I remember Cruden was a bit like that as well. He was a little guy, but he was a great defender. Mm. And I remember seeing him, he tackled Richie McCaw once, took him down and actually got over the ball, over the top of him. And you hardly ever used to see McCaw lose the ball in contact, did you? Like, he'd never get done like that.
Nah, not like that. I mean, and that's the modern game now. Yeah. You know, back then you could just kick the ball as a 10 and then no one will sort of target you. With these guys now, man, they're not big, but they certainly got big hearts.
Right, so Rico Tick, he's back in form, and weirdly, he's playing second five. Well, not weirdly. I mean, Tana likes him at second five. He likes it there.
Have they named the Blues, have they?
Yeah, so...
They're playing for it, aren't they?
Yeah, Rico Ioane at 12, Michael Collins at 13.
Collins at 13?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, the problem the Blues have got, they've got, you know, a few injuries, and their best player is sitting out in the wing and not getting much ball. He's skillful, Ioane, and so whatever position, and he's always mentioned that he likes to play in the centres. He's moved into 12. I think this is the second time he's playing at 12. So, look, he'll be good. It's Jerome's last home game, so they'll want to finish, their last home game against the Reds, Brad Thorne's Reds, on a high before their last game the following week.
I'd just like to mention to the people at home, I wish we were doing a video podcast right now, because Mills is wearing this big scarf and a beanie, and it's pretty special. It's spectacular. It's like a French style, you know, with the classic, it's a maybe French-Canadian, I'd call it.
French-Canadian?
Beanie, but with the scarf.
Oh, yeah, well, the scarf here was actually purchased in Wellington last year. I told Joe to go get me a scarf.
Your partner?
Yeah, and she's come back with this, and I've probably only worn it once or twice. So,
okay.
Given the fact she didn't look at the price tag, it was fairly expensive.
Really, that's an expensive scarf.
Yeah, I was pretty gutted actually when she. So I thought I'd better wear it today, given it's a cold day, and
you've got the full sort of like an army khaki type jacket.
Yeah, I'm glad you appreciated what I'm wearing today, then, McConey.
I know. Sports people do actually care about the style factor. I just wanted to make a mention of Jackson Hemelpoor. No one knew anything about the guy. Well, you know, he's played Super Rugby, Manawatu as well. This is amazing, just getting called in. Suddenly he's playing in the third test. Tell me what you think about him. Have you seen much of him?
Well, he brings physicality, doesn't he? And the fact that he plays lock, I think the coaches were alluding to that he possibly be looked at six as well. But he just brought that, you know, energy, physicality, and what he's done for the Highlanders has been amazing. But you've got to take your hat off to the coaches. You know, they're bringing all these guys. He's almost leapfrogged Romano and co, and gone straight into the third test. But he stood up as well. I think you know, there's a lot of talk in the Highlanders. Are they just battlers? But they're not, are they? You know, you can't say a battlers now when you've got someone like Hemelpoor riding in, you know, All Black contention and played his first test. So I was actually quite happy with the with obviously the result. But given there were, you know, four debutants, it's an awesome result for them to come out and play the way they did.
Was there a streaker on Saturday night?
There was a couple.
Oh, okay.
But they were fully clothed.
Oh, were they?
It's Dunedin, mate.
But that's disappointing. I mean, if you're going to streak, you've got to go nude, don't you?
Well, that's why they call it streaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't just, that's just a pitch invader. You're just running on there and
It's disappointing. Were they even like topless or something or not?
Nothing, mate. They're basically dressed like I am today. Coats and everything, beanies.
Oh, no. That's
but
wrong.
One did do it right. Now, I was sitting there and Stephen Bates said to me, look, they had something on a radio station saying this is how you should streak. You wait until one goes, and then as soon as you do that, as soon as they do that, then you jump over the fence and go, because everyone's sort of congregated to the first person, right?
It's distraction. It's like magic.
Yeah, clever.
You're a magician, yeah.
Clever. And that did actually happen on the weekend, but the security guards, they were onto it. Got him.
And he was nude.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay. But yeah. But he did it right in terms of timing, just not in terms of...
He didn't get very far.
Okay. So that's we're taking care of streakers. Also, I didn't think they in Dunedin, did they... they didn't sound like they were singing the Māori verse down there during the national anthem. Did you notice that too? Or was that me just watching on TV?
Well, I thought they did. I wasn't too sure. I did.
Oh, good on you.
Albeit whispering because I had carts beside me, so I didn't really want to... Katina from Sky
TV. Yeah.
So I was like, I better keep it. Like, it could have been reminiscent of Dan Carter, the way he used to sing in the national anthem. Man, when you stood beside him, oh mate,
he couldn't sing.
Oh, terrible.
Why is he so bad at singing? Because you think, but he still wants to belt it out. That's actually, I admire that.
Oh, he belted it out every single time.
Would he have been
That's
worse?
Passion, though, isn't it?
Would Dan Carter be a worse singer than the woman in Denver? Who butchered the Kiwis anthem?
Oh no!
No.
Oh
yes,
that was pretty. Yeah, that wasn't very good. I see she came out and apologised though, didn't she? So, and then sang it live on some
Radio
station.
Sport. Yeah, so it was great. Radio Sport got her in for redemption. Really,
yeah.
She was apologising profusely. She was really embarrassed by it, and she, in her rendition, she still did. It still sounded a bit like Good King Wenceslas, you know. And I was like, ehi oa atua, and it's like, no, that's still Good King Wenceslas, but she still had the rest of it okay, you know.
Yeah.
And then she also basically said that she practiced with a certain backing track, then they changed the backing track on the day.
Oh, okay.
And rather than have the nice little introduction where you hear the and then you launch into it, it crashed
straight in. Oh, okay.
And that's, as you know, if you've done any karaoke, that can throw you completely, even no matter how well you think you know the song. Because, you know, the words are lighting up and all of a sudden you're going, I know this, Teenage Dirtbag, I've got it. And it's just...
all over the place, right?
Yeah. That's a good... What's your karaoke go-to, by the way, if you had to get up and sing something?
It would have to be... I can't remember. It's been a long time since I did.
I've got a good one for you.
What?
Hurts So Good.
Hurts So Good.
Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should. You make it...
hurt so good.
Yeah, John Cougar Mellencamp.
That's it.
It's in the good key. You also roll your R's because you're from Invercargill.
Someone said that to me actually when I walked home from the bus station. Keep rolling your R's.
Oh, they say, yeah.
Am I still rolling them?
Yep. Say, was it Purple Workshop?
Purple.
Yep.
Still got it.
You still got it. My other question about you, Mills, is I know your name's Malili, but when were you first called Mills?
It was intermediate actually down in Invercargill because they used to call me Millie or Malili or Lily, and then Millie became Millilitres, and so just shortened it up to Mills.
Oh, Millilitres.
Yeah.
And then Mills.
Millie Vanilli, then Millie Millilitres. Mills, and then that's how it came. Mills, but with only one L. That was OG. That was when I thought I was gangster. You know, when you used to wear those highlighted jeans and you thought you were cool? Yeah, I thought, just one L.
Highlighted jeans?
Well, not highlighted, they're orange jeans.
That is highlighted, yeah. I mean, you're a different era from me. I mean, I would have looked down on those jeans. I was more bubble wash, stone wash jeans. They were really cool.
They've come back into fashion.
Yeah, incredibly. It takes a long time. I think I could fish some out of the wardrobe. It'd just be a little bit of a tight squeeze. Blues v Reds.
Okay.
Blues v Reds. This is big because they're saying goodbye to Jerome. Mm. What a servant. What a player. You've played so many games with him.
Yeah.
How good is he on an international scale? Do the opposition say, man, that guy Kano is incredible?
Well, I think with Lorms, you know, when he first came on the scene, he was, you know, very young, sort of explosive, you know, could I always remember that try that he scored when he went around Matt Rogers, you know, sort of stood him up and went round him against the Barbarians over in London. And then sort of he sort of molded his game around being not only just fast but also physical. So he's the sort of guys that, you know, if you knew you were going to pick around the rucks and you looked up and you seen a Jerome Kino or a Jerry Collins and that, you know, you know part of you was saying, yeah, should I pick and go or should I, you know, just leave it there and just pretend to clean over kind of type of scenario. Yeah. And so he that was massive because the game is constantly changing, and when you sort of adapt to that, bring physicality and sort of I suppose skill set, you know, he was amazing at that. The game's obviously, as I said, it's evolved and a lot of guys are a little bit more explosive, but in terms of what he's done for New Zealand rugby and particularly the Blues region in Auckland has been fantastic. So I hope they do it for him on Friday, but you know, I suppose the Reds will have a different story, mate. They'll be wanting to make sure they come here and win.
There's a lot of curiosity in this Reds team anyway, because you've got the Tongan Thors playing for them, Taniela Tupou, and
out of Sacred Heart College.
Exactly, out of Sacred Heart, and he is and he's starting. So this is actually pretty cool because there was the thought that he wouldn't necessarily fulfil his potential, but you know, he's starting Super Rugby games. Yeah. He's been picked for the Wallabies.
Yeah, he's done well. So yeah, he's, you know, another guy that's just starting to find, you know, his feet as well. Obviously a little bit more experience, but he's been good for the Reds. I mean, you know, I look back at the game they played at in Wellington against the Canes, where they, you know, they were there or thereabouts, could have almost pipped them, and he played a massive part in the way their forwards, particularly, you know, to speak about going around the edges and stuff like that and picking going. He was physical around the breakdown. And George Smith, you
the
know,
legend.
He's still going, and so, you know, they'll be pretty motivated to come here and win.
That's cool, actually, because yeah, if you throw in George Smith, you just it's Legends Day, isn't it? You got George on one side, you got Jerome on the other. Surely the Blues can get their first home win, is it, of the season?
I was just going to say that, you know, the Blues haven't won at home at all this year, so they've got to. It's the last one, and you know, they've got to draw on all their sort of emotion and motivation to try and get up for this game for Jerome.
All right, so I'm going to fast forward because what would we like time-wise, Alice? How long have we been going for? Probably
about 19 minutes, so you've got, I don't know, 20 minutes left.
Really? Oh, okay. Right.
I didn't hear that. What?
20 minutes. No, we've got about 15 minutes to go. So I'll tell you what, Mills, we're going to have a look at the Rebels Waratahs, just a little look, because Israel Folau has been suspended for that aerial challenge. Now, this seems a bit extreme for a guy who's made his whole career leaping higher than everyone else just because he got a little bit wrong, he's banned?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I sat here last week and said he was the best guy from a technical point of view that could go up in the air and contest those balls. He's done exactly that again. And this is, I suppose, the frustrating part about the rules. Obviously, he didn't have anyone check him, but I mean, what was he supposed to do? Yes, I seen he got his left arm there, but when you're up in the air, you're not sort of conscious that's what you do. He's looking to try and win the ball. He's now copped a 1 week ban as well. But I can see where Michael Checker was frustrated by that. O'Malley got concussed and things, and it wasn't good, but this really needs to be looked at. You know, I mean, you looked at the one the week before, they've come out and said, you know, it wasn't a red card, and so the World Rugby needs to look at this rule.
I know, it was a genuine attempt as well, wasn't it? I mean, I haven't got the tape right in front of me right now, there's nothing on our screens, but I do feel a bit sorry for him. The Waratahs, even though they had this weirdly bad start to the season, given all the talent they've got, surely they should be winning this game against the Rebels.
Oh, you think so? But the Rebels, they've done well this year. You know, Timu, who's been immense for them at the back of the scrum. It'll be interesting to see where Guinea is at You know, I just think, you know, and particularly for the Wallabies, when they lost Guinea, you know, they lost in that second test, they lost their way a bit. Obviously, didn't play in the third one, but it'd be interesting to see where Guinea's at for the Rebels. You have to say on paper that the Waratahs should really win this, and they need to. They need to keep going. But, you know, who knows? You know, you don't know what you're going to get in that Australian conference at the moment, do you?
It's true, actually. It does feel, but when you mention, yeah, okay, you've got the likes of Guinea over on the other side sort of running things, it does make it feel like, okay, they've probably got a fair shot there in Melbourne. Highlanders versus Chiefs in Suva. Have you played a game in Fiji like that?
No, not like that. Just sevens, but... it's awesome. Like, I mean, even the game last year, the Chiefs versus the Crusaders over there, oh, that, it was just full house. I think Sumo was saying when he was over there, it was like the, you know, it was packed from, you know, 2 or 3 hours before the game. So they get right in amongst it. And it's great to go back there again. It's obviously, as we all know, a rugby, particularly sevens, loving nation. But this is a huge game for both teams, isn't it?
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm excited. I'm a Chiefs man, so are you. I saw Tambo Matson tweeted a video or put it on Facebook or something of the team bus being led down the road in Fiji with Warriors, Fijian Warriors, all in their full kit. When I say full kit, it's just a grass skirt, really, and some weapons. And so forget Kim Jong-un's running security guards. The Chiefs have got that too. And I thought they were quicker than the Korean security guards as well.
Well, the Korean... yeah. Security guards had suits on though, and what? Humidity?
Yeah.
I mean, whereas, you know, the Suva ones,
they're barefoot. Barefoot though.
Yeah, I'd rather see those guys. That would have been mean.
Was amazing. Go on to, I don't know, hopefully just search for it on social media. We'll try and post it with this podcast if we can, if we have the technology. But I always worry about the Highlanders. I feel like, even when the Chiefs managed to beat them, which they did earlier in the year, it didn't seem like it was all, you know, it wasn't a dominant performance.
No, I mean, and the Highlanders were travelling quite nicely until then. They sort of had a couple of speed bumps, and I think lost two in a row. You know, obviously they've got their All Blacks back. They'll be looking to, you know, get back. Oh, well, who do they play last? I actually can't remember who they played last. Was it the Crusaders?
It's a long time ago. Was it? No.
But, I mean, when you've got, you know, Aaron Smith, Ben Smith, you know, Sopwanga. I mean, they didn't lose too many to test match footy. So... it'll be interesting to see how they go and play out there. Obviously, they're a team that likes to kick a lot. They're 28 in contestable kicks and find sort of space behind the backfield. I'll be interested to see, you know, what they do with that, given the conditions in Suva will be relatively hot and, you know, humid.
I love Charlie Nata. He's one of my favourite players, and he's being lost to New Zealand rugby. We're losing a lot of these guys, aren't we, mid-career now. What about his influence, I guess, on the team and the fact that, okay, he just went back to fullback for a while. He can kind of, he's a Mr. Fix-It, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he was huge. And if you recall, or, you know, the Chiefs' backline wasn't going that well. And often you need just that steady influence. And he came back and went into 12. You got, you know, McKenzie, who can be erratic sometimes, but in a great way, you know. And so putting Charlie there, he was just, he brought sort of, he was just solid, breaking the line a few times, and he just that calming voice, you know, that that teams actually need with experience and things. He just sort of, just with him being there, it sort of made McKenzie feel a little bit comfortable, because then, you know, Charlie was taking on the responsibility. You got Anton Leder Brown started to come into some nice form, particularly before the Steinlager series, and so he's huge. And obviously, he'll be missed, but this is what kind of happens now, you know, guys. They have to start thinking about, you know, where they're at. And, you know, you look at the All Blacks, yeah, they've just had, you know, Goodhue that's just started his career. This is a great thing about New Zealand, is we've got so many, so much depth. And so a hard one for Charlie, but it's good. On the other side too, it's been great that he's come back from injury as well, and he hasn't had any sort of, you know, reoccurrence of those injuries, which has been fantastic.
I actually had a dream the other night.
You had a dream?
Yeah, a bit not like Martin Luther King, and maybe I shouldn't even talk about dreams because they can get weird. But it was more about Anton Leonard Brown. I dreamed that he went back to the Crusaders country, and that he was in tears when he made the announcement that he was leaving the Chiefs. I hope that doesn't happen, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. I dream about what happens with player movements and stuff.
Why would he do that?
Yeah, exactly. Why would he go? They've got good Hugh. Well, just stay where you are.
Well, is there something about this dream? Is it? No. Have you heard? What made you dream this?
I don't know why. I'm obsessed about the Chiefs signing Mataele. I reckon he's the best attacking player in Super Rugby. Well, he's just a freak. He's the guy who can create something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And then, but then I heard that the Chiefs have already got their compliment for the next season. They've already.
Oh, they're done. They've signed up.
I think so. Although maybe they've kind of
Is Mataele
like
though? What does he fall under? Is he the foreigner?
No, I don't think he hasn't committed to anyone yet.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, imagine getting him.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs did lose Sitamani Valu. So that's perhaps where.
Maybe my dreams are centered around.
I don't think Anton's leaving. Is he?
No, I don't think so. Sorry to talk about dreams, you guys. We're going to actually talk about real stuff. So you think the Chiefs should win that one?
Oh, I'm hoping they do.
Liam Squire out. Oh, that's a good.
It's a hard one, though. Mate. Hard to pick.
Yeah. Hey, and congratulations to Joey Wheeler, whose wife/partner, who was on the block, Courtney. Remember that she was on the TV show. She did really well, actually. But she's pregnant now.
Wow. Mm. Awesome.
So that's
congratulations.
Great. Yes, excellent stuff. Brumbies v Hurricanes in Canberra. Well, I mean, that's, you know what the Brumbies are like sometimes on those cool Canberra nights. Yeah. It's just a rolling maulathon.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's not that, because the Hurricanes are there.
Well, the Hurricanes have been, it was the Hurricanes, actually. They played the Highlanders last.
Yeah.
They've lost a couple in a row, so they were travelling quite nicely with 10 wins in a row. Now they find themselves under a little bit of pressure. Yes, they've had the break, so they'll be wanting to come back and put in a performance before the last a decent performance before the last round, because they just seem like they're just under the pump a little bit, particularly against the Crusaders and then the following week against the Highlanders. And so they'll want to get back to winning ways. But you're right, going to Canberra, sometimes it's funny. It's a funny thing. I've been there a few times and you almost feel lethargic. The game starts slowing down a bit and then all of a sudden you've lost the game, and you're right, they maul the crap out of you.
We're going to move away from Super Rugby because I feel like it's almost going through a shopping list. And I'll just say that the Sunwolves are playing the Bulls, the Sharks are playing the Lions, and the Jaguars are playing the Stormers. So, hey, get amongst. But what about Eddie Jones just getting a win back? Can you tell me about Eddie Jones and how crazy he is? And, have you ever been coached by Eddie in your travels?
I've bumped into him a few times, and he's been a really nice guy.
He's fun.
He's complimented myself on the game that we played against him and things like that. But apart from that, I don't know him, from a personal capacity. But how huge is that win now? How much pressure was he on? And he came out and he was saying, how he'd loved the criticism and things. Well, the third test, they go to Newlands, the last test match ever to be played on that special ground, and he comes away with a convincing win, and he's probably sitting there going, he's finished now the international season until, November, and he's just given all those people that criticised him the big bird.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I like having him there because he is so interesting.
Yeah.
But I hear he's the sort of coach that will text a player at 2 a.m. in the morning with an idea. Yeah. Have you ever had texts like that from coaches going, hey, this double round move, do you like it?
We spoke about it earlier on in the year, and Simo was saying that, he used to text a lot of the players to ask where they were. Can you imagine that?
Oh.
Like, well, I suppose, what are you doing? Dropping the kids off? You could be,
You can always lie though, don't you? Do you often lie when someone says, where are you? I mean, I don't know, sometimes you just sort of think, oh, I'm just going to, tell the coach that I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, weights.
Oh, yes. Oh, hey,
Yoga?
Recovery
is always good. Yeah.
Recovery at 8, it's up to you to whether you do it. And then you get a text from the trainer or the coach, have you done it?
Hey, you just caught me in the gym.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Eddie. And there was something else I actually wanted to talk to you about as well that I that we've kind of gone off topic. Oh, yes, the rumours that Ardie Savia might be leaving. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that. What do you reckon it was, there's a package?
Oh, I mean, your brother goes to France. What do you think? Do you think it might influence him a bit, maybe? And if the money's good enough? Because I guess he is an established All Black, so he would command quite a big...
Oh, he would.
But the thing about it is I always felt that Ardie Savia could be anything in rugby. He was that talented. It worries me a bit that maybe people sort of don't think of the All Black jersey as the be-all and end-all, because that's what we rely on to keep these guys.
The hardest part now is that's not as, given the competition, and you look at Ardie's situation, you know, he's sat behind Sam Kane, who is an amazing player, so he's number two. The weekend, he comes, he gets a start, and he's been great coming off the bench as well, and also for the Canes. He comes off, and he comes off with an injury. Matt Todd goes on, plays an absolute blinder. These are the sort of things guys have to weigh up now, you know. Are you willing to sit and be number two for a while, or, you know, there's that carrot of getting thousands and this is massive money, you know. We're talking huge money. You know, do you go over there and earn that and say, well, you know, I've done it. And that's why I take my hat off to guys like, you know, the White Crockett's of the world who hang around and stick around and come off the bench for how many games and things like that, because they do value the All Black jersey. Nowadays, it's just so hard because that carrot is just is huge. And so these are the sort of things guys have to consider. In Artie's case, I personally don't think he's he's going to sort of go.
No.
I think he's got a lot to offer still in New Zealand rugby, and he's loved down there by the Canes. And so I don't think he's going
to
go.
Yeah, I'd love to see him stay.
Well, I hope not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I always, even in that Lions test series last year, you know how, was it a year before we had Wales down here?
Oh, yeah.
And Ardie came on and was a beast and just dominated them. You almost think it's like we're almost doing these nations a favour, where they turn up and they go, where's that guy Ardie Savia? And they go, oh, actually, no, he's on the bench, or not even, you don't have to worry about him. You know what I mean? Like, he's that, we sometimes take our scariest players and we don't even put them in the squad. And, all those teams visiting are going, oh, that's good.
He's gone.
Don't have to play that guy.
Yeah.
Don't have to play Jerome Kano. Don't have to, you know, Rennie Ranger, imagine, like, you know, all the guys who played him in Super Rugby would have thought, oh, I don't want to have to take him on.
Julian Savia. Yeah. What about even Nihi Milne-Scudder?
Yes.
I mean, he's back in Nahoro. I mean, fuck. I mean, we've just got so much talent, and there's more coming. You know, you look at the Range Rover First 15 at the moment, I tell you what, man, there is some good kids coming through. So you just hope we can sort of keep that talent here in New Zealand for a bit longer.
Yeah, well, you should look at the Isuzu D-Max Crow Goes Wild show. I mean, I'm just getting my own vehicle sponsor in there. Mills, if you're going to chuck Range Rover around the place, or is it Land Rover or Range Rover?
I tell you what, there is a good Holden Z71 2 Colorado.
Okay.
Outstanding. And there is one with skills with Mills on it too. So, yeah, great truck.
If you need your skills sorted out, Mills will do that for you. Can we plug your skills with Mills? I mean, I know this goes around, this is global, this podcast, but how do you get hold of Skills with Mills? Do you just go email Mills at Skills with Mills?
No, you can email me. Yeah, it's on there. Look at our Instagram, Skills with Mills.
Oh, yeah.
But fairly busy at the moment. Couple of schools. Takapuna Grammar, they're doing great this year. And Kelston Boys.
Who is the most famous student to ever come out of Takapuna Grammar?
Ooh.
Careful before you answer that. Have a think. And I'll give you a clue. It's recent and it's not rugby.
Oh.
It's not sport. And she doesn't use her real name. And she sings...
Oh, yeah, it is.
And you say, Lord. Praise the... Yeah, Lord, exactly.
Is she Takapuna?
She's Takapuna Grammar. She was the same year as Sean Wainui.
Oh.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought she was Rosmini.
No, she's Taka Grammar all day. And she was at the spin-off spin-off TV launch party the other night.
Oh, wow.
I went and had a chat to her. And she goes, hey, hi, my name's Ella. I went, My name's James. And then we had a chat, and it didn't last very long, but it was really cool. She's a nice, really nice person.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you get to meet some good people, don't you?
Oh, no, hang out at the spin-off, I tell you.
Far out.
That's what you do. You can even meet Mills Molina if you're lucky. Right, that's enough for this. This is the end of the podcast. Sumo, I hope you're having a good time. Is he in Fiji? Am I just guessing?
I don't think he is, because we've got our team talk show tonight. So.
Oh, right, okay.
He can't be in two places at one time, can he?
He's on deadline. He's writing White Crockett's book. I know that much. So maybe deadline day is today.
Were you supposed to say that?
I don't know. It's out there now. It's fine. He's a busy man, and it's exciting that he's writing. Yeah. You need to plug books whenever you can, right? And he's too humble to do that.
Hard out.
So anyway, hey, thanks, Mills, and I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. This is Rugby Pass.